So Lord, we thank you, we love you, we bless you. Thank you for your word, Lord. It's a lamp unto our feet, it's a light unto our path. God, your word illuminates the way. What will we do without your word, without the illumination of your word? We continue to walk in darkness. But we thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. In the book of Proverbs, it said it's a lamp and then it's a light and it's also life. God, thank you so much for your word, Lord. It also said that it guards us and it talks with us and it walks with us and it leads us, Lord. So God, we need you today more than ever. So much has happened from Sunday to Sunday, God. Thank you for the blueprint on how to live. Your word tells us how to live, how to give, how to forgive, how to think, how to act, how to react, how to respond. God, thank you so much. Now we ask that you would speak to us, Lord, through your word, through the power of your Holy Spirit, God. Open our hearts, our ears, our minds to receive what you have for us today, God. Then give us the courage to live for you, to apply and live your word. We don't want information, God. Give us revelation that leads to transformation. We're not making resolutions, God. We're praying for transformation. Bless your word. Bless your people to hear your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Make a note, those of you that are taking notes, that in the book of Matthew, you have Matthew who is, the book of Matthew is written by Matthew. His surname also is Levi. So Matthew is a Jew. He's writing to Jews about a Jew. Amen. The King of Jews. And it was specifically, as you do the research, it was saying Matthew's book was specifically for the Jewish community to show that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. The long-awaited Messiah that they were looking for. Matthew said, this is him, this is he. That's why it starts off in verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, because he had to be come through the lineage, the son of David, and also the son of Abraham. He had to come through Abraham, he had to come through David. So Matthew, as he starts his book off, no question, this is him. And then I got excited as I was reading a little bit more. I'm not going to take you through the lineage with who begat and who begat, and I'm not going to do all that this morning. But I do want you to take, Dominique, let's go to verse 5. I want you to get excited about a few things. And it says, and Salmon begat Boaz, that's Boaz, but it's Boaz, all right? And then we got Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed and Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king of King begat Solomon, of her that had been the wife of Urias, which is Bathsheba. But if you look at that, look at Rahab, the life of Rahab, and then the life of Ruth, and the life of David, and the life of Solomon and Bathsheba, it looks like it's, you put it together, it's a big mess. Somebody say amen. Because we've been told that God doesn't bless a mess, but that's not true. God blessed the mess, and somebody say amen, because that's us. So don't, people lie, but they don't understand the scriptures. God does bless a mess. You look at the life of Rahab. You look at Ruth, what had happened to her with her husband and her son dying. We're not going to even talk about the life of David. Or what he did with Bathsheba and had the husband killed. But some kind of way, God takes ordinary people and through the power of God makes them extraordinary. And then he was so gracious to put us in the lineage. See, they have a lineage, but we have our names written in the book of life. Yes. And see, people would see David and say, he shouldn't even be in there. You're right, he shouldn't. And when they look in the book of life and see our name in there, they shouldn't be in there. Right, we shouldn't. Make a note, the grace of God is amazing. We shouldn't be. We didn't get what we deserve. That's the mercy, we got the grace. We got the kindness, we got the love, we got the favor. So as you're looking at the lineage, as you're looking at your life, be encouraged. Don't let people lie to you and talk about God doesn't bless. He does. When we submit and surrender to Christ, God turns that thing around. He's done it all throughout Scripture. And as we've been going through the Old Testament, that's all we've seen. The theme is the grace of God. The second chance, the third chance. If you, then I will. So now we go to verse 16. And then it gets to the birth of Christ. Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called the Christ. And we see that Jacob, because it had to come through the lineage of David and Abraham. And so Jacob was in that, and so was Joseph, who married Mary. But we know that Joseph didn't sleep with Mary, so he was there, but it didn't come from him, right? Amen. It came from the Holy Ghost. So that makes Jesus Christ somewhat of a step. Well, Joseph is the stepfather of Christ. So make a note of that. So sometimes we have stepchildren and people want to give you a hard time about that. But look, this is Joseph. He didn't treat Jesus any different than he did his other kids. So we see that God had a stepfather. Amen. Yes. Said the most theologians believe that Jesus had four brothers and two sisters. Make a note if you want to read that for yourself. It's based on Mark 6:3. So those of you who might be a step parent or this, that, don't be hard on yourself. It's okay. So was Joseph, and he didn't discriminate. Let the love of God shine through your heart towards your kids. Just like God does. He adopted us, and now we're in his family. Verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. So here's what we get all the time, which we're studying in the Old Testament. So make a note if you haven't already that we serve a God of order. Amen. We see that. It's 14, it's 14, it's 14. We serve a God of order. We serve a God of specifics. We serve a God of detail. Yes, every little thing does matter, what we do and what we say, because we serve a God of order and detail and specifics. And then make a note, timing. Serve a God of timing. As you're in your prayer time this week, family, pray for God's timing for your life. As we go into 2020, we're not waiting to January 1 to change things around. We're praying for transformation today. Every little thing we do and every little thing that we say does matter. And as we speak of the order, as we approach the new year, it's time to get our life, our spiritual life and our spiritual house in biblical order. God, we serve a God of order. Remember, we don't want resolutions. We're begging for a transformation. Your prayer time, ask God for a transformed life. It's transformed through the wisdom of God's word and being led by the Holy Spirit of God. So we have to stop underestimating the power of the Holy Spirit and the power, the strength and the ability that God has given to us by the Holy Spirit. So I have a Sister Kathy, guess what it says right here? It says read this, so I got to read it. It says we should be talking to God daily, begging for wisdom. Why? This is why. So we don't disregard the divine encounters we have daily with other people. Because when we're not led by the Spirit of God, the encounters become ineffective, lower level, fleshly encounters. When we're not led by the Spirit. We're either led by the Holy Spirit or by the filthy flesh. The question asks, who led you this week? And I got a little thing here, just a little scenario here. Says your family saw your car pull up for that Thanksgiving dinner and immediately cringed. Oh yeah, you go to church, but you have no evidence of the Holy Spirit leading your life. They know during the course of the day of the evening is going to turn into a lower level, pride-filled, filthy flesh-led encounter. It says we have to stop being led by our emotions and insecurities and fears and being led by the Word of God, trusting God, and the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Mm. They said read it, Kathy. So I had to read it. Verse 18. It's not a birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, or it happened this way. When his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, before they had sex, just thought I'd wake y'all up with that. Let me read that again. When Jesus' mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, before they had sex, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. They were engaged. They were not married yet, so they didn't have sex. Somebody make a note of that. That's another message for another time. I'm not going to get into that today. But I will share that we have spiritual warfare at the highest level. What do you mean, Pastor? Because it's funny, when you're engaged, the couples can't keep their hands off of each other. But then when you get married, you don't have time for each other. Spiritual warfare. I did say that's another message for another time. Did I say that?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to stick to that then.
Yes.
But more importantly, the prophecy, the second half of that scripture says, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're focusing on. That's the miracle. Incredible miracle. How do you have a kid with the Holy Spirit? Right? That's a miracle. I mean, you just have a kid. Men, you got to put yourself in Joseph's place. It said he was a just man. And Joseph said, I'm not going to make a spectacle out of my fiance. Somebody say amen. I'm not going to make a spectacle out of my wife. He was a just man. He was a good man. But he did what most of us did. He started thinking about, okay, you and the Holy Ghost got to pack your stuff and get on, okay? I know the Holy Ghost did it, but you and the Holy Ghost, y'all going to pack y'all stuff and get on, okay? Because this ain't going down, but I'm not going to put you on Front Street. It's a good man. Ladies, when you're looking for a good man, look for a man who's not putting you on Front Street. Even in the toughest times, I mean, think about this. He's devastated. She's cheated on him. They're engaged to get married. He finds out that she's been cheating on him. Ain't gonna blame it on God. Amen. He's devastated, but he said, In the midst of my toughest time, come on, men, listen to me, men. In the midst of my toughest time, I'm not going to disrespect my wife. In the toughest, not the good time, because everybody is lovey-dovey in the good times. But when it gets as tough as it is, I'm not going to disrespect her. I'm going to do it the right way. I'm going to put her away privately. I'm not going to put her on Front Street. Oh, I wrote some things down. I got some more. Read this. Joseph did, well, let me say this too, that the child was part of the Trinity, the third person of the Holy Ghost. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Three separate people, yet one person, is called the Trinity. It's the miracle of God. So here's where I was trying to go. Joseph did what most men would have done. This relationship is over. You and the Holy Ghost, pack your stuff and get to stepping. That's what it says. I'm an upright man, but I'm not a fool. But Joseph was an upright man, a good man. He didn't want to put his wife on Front Street or make her a public example. He didn't blame her, men, make a note. He didn't blame her like Adam did. Adam said, it's the wife you gave me. He didn't blame her like Adam did. Because you know, it's not your wife, men. Women, it's not your husband. It's spiritual warfare, because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood.
That's right.
Amen? But Joseph forgave her like Christ. Didn't throw her under the bus. was going to put her away privately. He didn't start a prayer gossip line, didn't start talking to other members in the temple about asking them, what do you think about Mary? What should I do? You know what she did? She's, God, somebody got to hear me this morning. He kept it between him, Mary, and God. He didn't try and get people on his side by pushing his agenda to make him look good. Hey, you want to know what? You know what? I tried to love her, and I was faithful, and I was this, and I was that. And look what, he didn't try and get people on his side to make himself look good. That's how an upright man handles a tough situation. Make a note. He wasn't critical, unforgiving, highlighting someone else's faults and flaws. He didn't badger Mary because of his insecurities and issues. Look what he did in verse 20. He went and he thought. Make a note, family. When do you have quiet time to think and dialogue with God? Let me say it again. You got to have quiet time to think and dialogue with God. As a believer, as someone with a relationship with Jesus Christ, when do you have time where you sit and you think so God can speak to you? And you can speak to God. Family, we talk about it all the time. That early morning time. Amen. Young adults, youth, you got to have time to talk to God. Because when you don't, then you just walk around and I got to all this, read this. It's all right here. It says, but what, verse 20, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Think about it. If he would have went around badgering her and putting her down without spending time and thinking of God what to say. Folks, when things happen, you got to pause and process that. Here I go. I'm calling everybody, talking about, and I sit and talk with God, and God say, no, that's not even the way it should have happened. But I didn't put it out there. You got to pause and process. You got to have that time to think. When you get that call, when somebody does something, is somebody going to do something on your job and you're going to go run to the lunchroom and say, hey, you know, man, the boss is tripping. You know this, that, and the other. Ain't talk to God about nothing. And then it comes back on you and you looking crazy. But you the one to go to church. I'm telling you, this is practical for men, for women. Pause and be quiet before you start. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a righteous, upright man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Keep it between you, God, and that person. Keep it between you and God and that person. And if you don't want to include that person, keep it between you and God and let God work out the details. Because in verse 20, we see, but while he thought on these things, then God spoke, the angel of the Lord. Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary, your wife. Now you got to go back and tell everybody, you know, I was just kidding. She really didn't do all that. It was God. And hey, remember what I told y'all? No, just disregard that. Hey, man, I thought she did that. You still going to marry? Yeah, because, you know, I sat and I talked to God and, you know, and I prayed about it. Now I know I didn't put it out there, but, you know. Verse 21, he should bring forth a son. This is the angel of the Lord talking. Throughout scripture, it's when the angel of the Lord appears. You know, it's been debate of whether it's God himself or whether it's an angel of the Lord. Just really good stuff. Let me show you something too. Then we'll continue. Let me show you something with the angel of the Lord. Turn to Psalms 34:7. I apologize for the screen not working this morning, but you know, we're having technical difficulties, but I encourage you to bring your Bible. every Sunday, amen, because you got to take notes right there in your Bible. God speaks through his word. Write the notes down on the side. You know, the young folks like to bring their phone, but you just one click away from somebody twerking. You already know that. So we don't need to be on the phones in here. I do say you can tweet out, you know, hey, I got this word from God as pastor, and you tweet it out or whatever. That's okay. I'm okay with that. But you should have your word, and you should be taking notes. Right? We're just old school. Some of us are old school. Before we had projectors, we had the word. You go to church with your Bible. And it was all marked up, and because a sign of a broken down Bible is a built up man was what I was taught. A falling apart Bible is a built up man or woman is what I was taught. Amen. What did I say? Did I say Psalms 34:7? Look at this. The angel of the Lord encamps or surrounds about them that respects God's awesomeness. That's what it means. The fear of him. And delivers them. Verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the person that trusts in the Lord. But here's the angel of the Lord that surrounds those that respects his, or that fears him. That's the reverential awe. You go, oh my God. You have that type of relationship where you understand that God is everywhere, all the time, all powerful, and you respect that. And it's just certain things you don't do because you know that God is watching everything. And he says he got his angels got you covered. Make a note of that. And then we go to Daniel 3. Daniel 3 and 28. Daniel 3 and 28. You got to see this because I'm going somewhere with this. Amen. I'm telling you, it's a revelation in this, Sister Kathy. Brother Jerry, it's a revelation in this. 3:28. Did I say Daniel 3 and 28? Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. Uh-oh. So the angel was there when they reverenced God. The angel's there when they trust God. He said, and has changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except for their own God. Then we get the decree. Therefore, I make a decree, in verse 29, to every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Not only did the angel of the Lord deliver them, they got promoted and people got saved. And God's word name was spread. All right, Daniel 6, and then I want to share the revelation. Daniel 6:22. Daniel speaking said, you there say amen. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him was innocent was found in him, he was innocent, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. So the revelation is, we talk about angels, and they're throughout the Bible. Maybe in the 2020, I'll do just a study on a series on angels. But you see, every time the angels are there because of an obedient, connected life to God. Let me say, that's the revelation. I noticed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego committed to God, trusted God. Angel protecting them. Psalms 34:7 said, the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fears God, and then he delivers them. Daniel trusted God, even in the midst of them saying, whoever bow down and worship anything other than God will be sent into the lion's den. Daniel trusted God, and the angel protected him. It's a connection and obedience to God. And God says, I got you covered. If you're out living reckless, doing your own thing, and say, okay, God, I don't know. I'm just showing you what the scriptures say. They were not out doing their own thing. They weren't living reckless. They were committed to God, and the angel of the Lord protected them. Okay, let's finish this up. When we stop, we stop. You know, I still got 2 pages of notes, but anyway, let's go back to Matthew 1 and 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Remember, Joseph was an upright man who feared God. He had quiet time, God spoke to him. He operated with the Spirit of God, there was a connection there. God spoke to him through the angel of the Lord. So here's my notes, and then we're going to try and wrap this up and take communion and then have our meeting and go on our way. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But it says, when do you have quiet time and when do you have quiet time and quiet thoughts with God? When do you make time to just sit and think about where God has you at in life? Let me say that again, because we want to blame other people. Joseph didn't blame his wife or his fiance. Adam did. Joseph didn't. We do. Amen. But when do I just sit and I have my quiet time with God? And I'm not blaming my wife. I'm not blaming my kids. I'm not blaming my boss. I'm not blaming the police. I'm not blaming the president. I'm not blaming some political party, but I'm just sitting and listening to God. God, this is where you have me in life. I know you're a God of order, detail, specifics, and timing. God, let me rest. We're talking about it in the men's meeting. When do you rest? Said it's finished. When do we rest in God? Because it's finished, and say, God, where I am, where are you leading me? When do we have time? Okay?
Yes.
Where God has you, make a note, where God has you is right where you need to be. Otherwise, God would have you somewhere else. It's a divine purpose. Even in your toughest situations, God is always speaking. Joseph had to be devastated. He thought his wife was cheating on him. He had to be devastated. But when do you have time in the midst of your toughest situations to listen and dialogue with God? I tell my kids all the time, my grown kids, which includes JL, who's 18 now.
Yes.
I tell them, God is always speaking in every situation. Make sure you're listening. You're not under mom and dad anymore. It's you and God. And God is always speaking. We might not want to hear what he's saying. We might want to stay self-medicated or something like that so I don't have to listen. But God is always speaking. So I got to be involved in everything so I'll never have time to quit, to sit quietly and listen to God. So I got to do everything. And I got to go to this party, I go to that party, I got to go happy hour 7 days a week. I got to have me a little nip every time I'm watching TV. I even go to sleep with the TV on because I can't have no quiet time, because then God might try and speak to me and tell me, you need to slow down. You're doing too much and you don't have me included in any of your plans. And I don't want to hear that. So I'm staying on social media. I got to have it 20. And the enemy's clever. He can have you on that social. That stuff never goes off. We talked about it before. Some of us grew up in an era where TV went off. Can you get that Ray Charles singing America the Beautiful? You know it cut that thing. It's over.
Yeah.
You didn't fell asleep and woke up and Ray Charles singing America the Beautiful. Then missed the whole movie. And it wasn't no TiVo to rewind it to take it back. You just missed it. But now the enemy is clever. You'll be on social media. If you don't pause, if you don't stop, it never stops now. the music never stops, right? Because you would carry that boom box. We had, what, the boom box, right? And some people would carry, that thing was heavy. I ain't carrying that thing with me. Man, that thing is too heavy to be carrying around. I might show off for a little while and I'm taking that thing home. But now you got it where it goes with you everywhere and it can stay in your ears. You don't even have to, you don't have to listen to nothing. And trust me, you know the enemy, he's prince of the power of the air, the airwaves, the radio, and all you have to do is listen to just some of that stuff that's out there. And who's feeding it? It's the influence of the enemy. So it never stops. But when do you have time? I'm telling you, if you don't make time, it's not going to be time. Okay, let me finish this, and then we got to wrap it up, because y'all know it. You know how I do it. I keep going. But I do have to read this, Kathy, because it says read this. When do you have quiet time to listen and dialogue with God? We have to stop allowing the culture and social media and society to distract us from our quiet time with God. Youth, young adults, and those of us not so young, seasoned saints, if you don't have your quiet time with God, you will remain confused, distracted, anxious, depressed, because the world is selling you a mirage. For those of you who don't know what a mirage is, it's something that looks like it's there, but it's really not. So the world is selling you a mirage that will never bring lasting happiness and peace. Peace only comes through the Prince of Peace, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. When you have that quiet time with God, God will speak to you through his word, through worship, or through prayer. All of the above. When you make a note about the angels, make a note. I have Genesis 18, 1 through 3. Where they visited Abraham, and he just thought they were three men, but it was God and two angels. In Hebrews 13, 2, where it says, sometimes we encounter and entertain angels unaware of it. Talk about a divine encounter. So those of you who have a Christmas tree, just make a note, angels are not just for the top of the Christmas tree.
All right.
Amen. Let that angel remind you that we all got to get right with Christ and stay obedient. Amen. All right, so I got to wrap this up. Where is a better way to wrap it up? Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, Joshua, Yahshua, for he will save his people from their sins. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, all this was done. This is Matthew writing. Remember, Matthew, he's going to show the Jews. He's going to show the connection. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet saying. And it's the prophet Isaiah. Make a note of it. It's in Isaiah 7:14. Exact same scripture. How does God know this? How does it happen? He said, behold, a virgin shall be with the child and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God is. It was already written. Matthew saying this, don't be surprised, this was already written about. God is true, God is faithful. Verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as angel of the Lord. Now make a note, Joseph was obedient. Now after God tells you, then you got to be obedient. Spend time with God, get the play, and then be obedient. Get the directive, and then be obedient. And Joseph, verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. He didn't sleep with her, right? Because it couldn't come from Joseph. Because remember, we found out a long time ago, you can't get clean in dirty bath water. So if it comes through Joseph, it's tainted with Adam. Jesus is the second Adam. No sin. That's why he qualifies to be the propitiation, the substitute for our sins. He didn't know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and they called his name Jesus. All right, I'm going to end with this. Look at chapter 2:1. Let me just finish with this. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is his son? Where is he that was born, king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east, and we are come to worship him. Make a note. Wise people still worship Christ today. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
and you got to worship something. I'm going to say it. I'm trying to find a way to say it every week. You got to worship something. My suggestion is that we don't worship anything that can lose, right? I was watching a few games yesterday. Folks was tripped out. They need to hear this message. Don't worship anything. Appreciate, yes, but don't worship anything that can lose, disappoint you, or die. Somebody say amen. Came down. You got to have your worship time. You got to have your quiet time and your worship time with God. And then that's where we're going to stop today. So as we prepare for communion, we have 1 Corinthians 11:23 is a scripture I'll be reading from. Jesus just set the example all the way around. 1 Corinthians 11:23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks." Think about that. Being betrayed and given thanks. Sort of like the character of Joseph, feeling devastated, but still able to live righteous and make righteous decisions. Let me say it again. Being devastated, but still staying connected to God and make righteous decisions. Jesus being betrayed and able to give thanks. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had drank, saying, 'This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you do, as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes.'" Brothers, go ahead and pass out the sacraments. And yes, visitors, you're welcome to take communion with us. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then don't take communion. Please see me after service, and I can make sure to lead you to the Lord. And if you choose to accept Christ, then you definitely can take communion the first Sunday of January. But if you have Christ in your heart, you've accepted Christ, please join us in communion. But as we take communion, just think about how good God has been this year. Think about who you need to forgive, who's betrayed you, but you still have to give thanks. Because if we stand before God and we want God to forgive us, we have to forgive all those who have wronged us. There's just no way around it. We got to be obedient, just like Joseph was obedient. Not to our emotions or our feelings, but to the word of God. So just pause and think, God, who do I need to let go? Who am I still holding that all of that grudge against? Jesus said 7 things when he was on the cross. The first thing he said is, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Because he knew that's what we would have the most trouble with, is forgiving folks who's wronged us. But when we think about how we've wronged God and God didn't give us what we deserve, we have to forgive. 7 times 70. And if you're going to stand there and count 490 times, you got the problem and not the other person. So Lord, forgive us. Thank you. Forgive us of our sins. Thank you for not giving us what we deserve. It's the mercy. And then you gave us what we don't deserve, which is your favor and your grace, your love. Thank you, Lord, for healing our broken hearts. our broken spirits, our broken minds. Thank you for healing our broken bodies. We live according to your word, not according to our feelings or what we think. Thank you, Lord, because you knew there would be all kind of things going on, wars and rumors of wars and life and death and birth and marriage, divorce, kids, grandkids, job, business, ministry. And you said, pause and do this as often as you think about it. Put your life back in biblical perspective. I'm coming back for you. Take communion. My body was broken. I paid a physical price. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. My blood was shed so your sins can be forgiven. As the scripture said, you saved us from our sins. Thank you, Lord, for cleansing us. We remember, we pause and say thank you for doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Elevate that which represents his body. God, we recognize a physical price that was paid for us to be free. That you took the beating for us. You were bruised for our iniquities. By your stripes, we were healed. Now it's just a smooth transition to the presence of God. No sting for death, no victory for the grave. God, you did it. But you had to pay a price. You died for us, Lord. Let us at least live for you. It's the least we can do. It's our reasonable service. Go and eat that which represents his body. Elevate that which represents his blood. As the scriptures state, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Something had to die so we could live. Thank you, Lord, for cleansing us. We celebrate the miracle of your birth, and then we celebrate the miracle of being born again. Amen. Because you resurrected on that third day. Yes. Thank you, God, for your miracles that's directly affected our life and made us new creation in Christ. And you've come and you've given us a complete life. You've given us life and that more abundantly. God, let us at least live for you. It's the least we can do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go on and drink that which represents his blood. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I trust. I believe. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Stand to your feet. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. So, members, let's make our way over here. Give somebody a hug. Greet somebody as you come on over. And we are going to start the meeting in 2 minutes. Amen. Cut this off before JL says something that's...
Are we going to decorate the house?
Yeah.